T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Good morning and welcome to The Public File. I'm Doug Thomas, and my guests for this segment are Diane Mintz and Michael Hansen of the Stop Stigma Sacramento Speakers Bureau, the Mental Illness It's Not Always What You Think Project in Sacramento County. You can find them online at stopstigmasacramento.org. Good morning, you two.
Good morning.
Let's start with a little background on each of you. Please tell me a little bit about yourself and your connection to the project.
I have been involved since almost the beginning. It's been 10 years now, and it is just wonderful. I had a long history of battling stigma myself in the early years of being diagnosed with bipolar disorder. Nobody in the world talked about mental illness at all. And my husband and I found that as we were beginning to be more accepted, sharing with more people, that it actually accelerated our recovery. So when I found Stop Stigma, it was at the perfect time, and it has really literally changed my life.
That's great to hear. And how about you, Michael?
I became acquainted with the project in 2015, which was the year that I was diagnosed with bipolar 2 disorder. And just for everybody's knowledge, the difference between bipolar 1 and bipolar 2 is bipolar 2 does not display the need to be hospitalized kind of symptoms. So not that I haven't been close to out of control at various points, but I have never been hospitalized for it. I was diagnosed at the age of 59. I am 66 today. I became acquainted with the program looking at one of the billboards that was around town, Mental Illness, It's Not What You Think. And I checked out the website, saw down in the corner that they had a speakers bureau. I looked at that, signed up for it. I know the rest is history. It was one of those things where I had no idea that this was something that was going on and available, and I am so glad that I found it. The first practice session for Stop Stigma Speakers, I walked in the door and I felt like I was home. I felt like I did not have to explain myself for the first time in my life. It's a great organization.
That's great to hear. Yeah, I think we're all about the same age, and we grew up in a time where you heard somebody had a mental illness and, you know, okay, well, they just need to be locked up. That's all there is to it, right? Yeah. Well, Michael, tell us all about the Mental Illness It's Not Always What You Think Project.
Mental Illness It's Not Always What You Think Project. Basically, it deals with mental illness being kind of a universal sort of thing. Mental illness does not discriminate based on age, race, sex, gender, any of the normal parameters of grouping people. Since roughly 1 in 5 adults and children will experience a mental illness in their lifetime, the importance of being able to publicize that there are a lot of people that are functioning very well in society with a mental illness is raising awareness is the main thing of the project. And by raising awareness, we can lower that stigma of it. Like you said in the beginning, you said, well, you know, we grew up in a similar age, and people looked at mental illness as being something that, you know, just lock them up. It is not that kind of a situation. And the program is designed to bring awareness to the fact that there are a lot of people that are functioning very well in society and struggle with a mental illness as well.
What are some of the common misconceptions about mental illness and mental health, Michael?
I think one of the big ones is that you're dangerous. I know that, unfortunately, when we look at the news and we see a story that's unfolding where there's a hostage situation or there's a shooting or there's some violence going on in the world, oftentimes people will just say, oh, you know, the mental illness aspect of this.
Right.
And that is the exception rather than the rule. The rule is more that people function within a fairly narrow range of emotions, coping mechanisms, and they can really move forward very well with a mental illness. So that's one of the common misconceptions. Another one is that people with a mental illness are undependable. Also not true. I have been very successful in my career. I had a long career as a real estate broker and a mortgage broker, a long career in ancillary healthcare. I currently work for a worldwide disaster recovery company analyzing grant application requests. So I'm functioning very well. So those two misconceptions are things that the program also tries to defray, get them out of the limelight.
Right. Well, thank you, Michael. Diane, how does stigma stop people from getting the help they need?
Well, that's, I think, you know, Michael has, you know, given us some of the self-stigma ideas that we tend to think ourselves.
Sure.
Because of, you know, media and Hollywood. If you're actually thinking that the rest of the world has that kind of, you know, that they can't function the way, you know, Michael has succeeded. My husband and I own a computer business. And if you don't know about other people's success living with a mental illness, then it's going to stop you from, you know, pursuing any kind of help. So you stay stuck, trapped in this period of time where, okay, you're not doing very well. You're on the lower end of your brain, you know, function.
Right.
And so, you know, the brain is an organ. It's like other organs, and sometimes it's not doing as well as it should be. And so it can stop people from pursuing treatment because, first of all, you have to use your brain,
right,
to seek out the treatment. And two, just that stigma hanging over. That's what the first person that I heard when I walked into Stop Stigma share the tragic life and difficulties and trauma that she went through and where she is now. I didn't know that. I didn't know that there were very many, you know, people, you know, living well with mental illness. So that's the tribe that we come from, that we connect to, and that we want to share with the world who, you know, has thought that, you know, it's weakness, it's lack of willpower, and that it's not treatable.
Right.
Because it is.
Well, there's so much going on in the world right now. Current issues like COVID-19, we've got out-of-control gun violence and global conflicts. It's causing a lot of us to struggle with mental health like never before. What are you guys able to do for people who are experiencing mental health issues, Diane?
Well, first of all, you know, like I said, we're like a tribe, you know. So connecting with somebody else who has gone through what you've gone through.
Sure.
And in the pandemic, we've all gone through it.
Right.
So that kind of, in a way, helps, because now we can relate to other people of, oh my gosh, you know, do you have anxiety too about this? Are you worried? Do you have depression? So in a way, it is easier to talk about it now because it's not kind of under the carpet, like I shouldn't feel like this.
Sure.
Stop Stigma, you know, the resources on the website is, you know, the point is to connect people to others and to the fact that there are, you know, resources popping up everywhere now, because the need is so great. I saw that, you know, in 2020, the statistics just came out that the young adults, like 18 to 25, it's like 1 in 3 that have a mental illness.
Sure.
You know, in that time period. It was a very difficult time for them.
That makes sense, yeah.
Yeah, so getting people to talk with each other is a big thing, and hearing our stories of, you know, suffering and treatment and then coming out the other side is the hope that we want people to have.
It's been unfortunate through the pandemic, too, with social media. There's been so much misinformation shared. I'm sure that added to the problem as well, right?
Of course. Yeah. But that's been going on all along.
Yeah.
Right. Hollywood highlights, and media, they highlight tragic things, not success stories. And that's
if it bleeds, it leads, right? Yeah.
Right.
That's true. You're listening to The Public File. I'm Doug Thomas, and my guests this morning are Diane Mintz and Michael Hansen of the Stop Stigma Sacramento Speakers Bureau. You can find them online at stopstigmasacramento.org, and you guys are also on social media, but you've got the good stuff going on social media. Just do a search for Stop Stigma Sacramento. Well, Diane, what can our listeners do to support their mental health and well-being of others right now?
Thing is to recognize it. You know, there are signs and behaviors that I think we used to just not pay attention to at all. You know, for example, our young adults, we would say, oh, they're just being a moody teen.
Right.
Well, I think now we're aware because, you know, obviously so much is going on that, you know, if the behavior is new, if it's related to something that's upsetting them, if there's an increase of drugs or alcohol, if their the sleep patterns or eating patterns have changed of one of your loved ones, and of course if they're avoiding friends, social activities, or agitated, mood swings, all these kinds of behaviors we're seeing a lot of, but it's important to say something, to reach out, to find out things that you can do to encourage people to get help, whether it be professional help or just talking to another peer that is going through that. Because there's no reason why we have to limp through life. There's no reason why you would want to run a race on a sprained ankle. There is help out there so that you can be your best. And we want to encourage people to do that.
Yeah, you can't just write it off as someone being a moody teen. You need to find out what's going on behind the scenes, right?
Absolutely.
What are some indications that friends and family might be experiencing a mental health issue, Diane?
Well, you know, a lot of those signs are hard to tell right now with everything going on, but it is important to have the conversation.
Sure.
That's why Stop Stigma wants to make this a normal conversation in everyday life. We say, you know, how you doing? I'm fine. Well, that's not really the case in a lot of people's lives. It's like, just let's be real. You know, find a way to have a genuine conversation, and then you'll be able to, if you identify a lot of these signs, which people are displaying, you'll be able to get to the root of it and say, like, would you like to see if there's something we can do to make you feel better, to make you, you know, more social or productive or more connected to people again? It's hard coming out of this pandemic.
Right.
So, you know, a lot of people are really wanting the help. They just don't know how to do it. And that's why we do provide resources and people.
Well, Michael, what's the best way to support friends and family who might be living with mental illness?
You know, Diane covered a lot of that, and that is awareness. However, kind of going one step beyond that, it's a kind of a universal blanket that we need to throw on life right now. Like you mentioned, we have the pandemic ongoing. We have the violence in society. We have all of those things. We have so many things that are breaking down the normal social constructs that we experience and kind of tending to separate and isolate each other. So I think the first thing that we need to do is we need to do our own checkup from the neck up, as it were,
right.
And be look at how we're facing the world. And I really subscribe to what they say when you get on an airplane and they say, if the masks drop from the ceiling, make sure you secure yours first before helping those around you.
Right.
It's kind of a metaphoric feature that I subscribe to. And I think it's about going out in the world, being aware of your other human people that are around you. It's about reaching out to them. One of the practices that I do all the time is I will look at people that I have contact with all the time. And if they seem down or if they seem in turmoil in one way or the other, I will actually approach it in a fairly direct way and say, you know, you don't seem your normal self lately. Is something bugging you? And it kind of opens that up. And they can shut you down or they can open up. It's their choice. But what you've done is you've started to drive the car into that space where you can communicate with them.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I do constantly is when I'm out in the world, I talk to people. I'll initiate a conversation with somebody in the grocery store. I was having breakfast and a gentleman was standing there with a UC Davis t-shirt on. And I said, oh, UC Davis, my son went there. Start a conversation with somebody. The idea of that human contact, drawing people out of their isolation, that's a way that you can help. So it's kind of a universal behavior pattern of caring and kindness that you have to show the world out there. And I really believe that being direct with people and always showing that care and kindness, those are the three things for me that seem the most effective to help others and also to help myself, because guess what? I'm staying connected when I'm connecting to them. So it's all good for all of us.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm the same way too. If I'm, you know, standing in line somewhere for a coffee or something and I see something, I mean, I always try to strike up a conversation. And I would say, you know, most of the time, you get a smile or just a short reply. I mean, there's only been like once or twice where I've kind of had somebody look at me like, why are you talking to me? But most of the time, people are out in public and they're happy to meet you, happy to just have a short chat, right?
Absolutely. That's absolutely the case. I have found the same thing as you. You know, every now and then you'll get somebody to look at you like, why are you trying to get in my bubble right now? And you just, right. You know, you just back off of it. But I would have to say that 99% of the time, somebody wants to talk. They want to come out. They want to connect in a human sort of way. I've had people that I've known over the years where I'll call them if I haven't heard from them for a while and talk to them and we'll get into it. And then I'll hear back later and say, you know, I was really bummed out that day until you called. And then we had this great conversation and it made my day better. So if I can do that with one person that I talk to in the grocery store line or at the bank or, you know, when I'm out walking or whatever I'm doing, I'm certainly going to do that.
Yeah, the incredible value of friends and family, too, because I was having a down day earlier this week, and then all of a sudden a friend of mine called me up in the afternoon and invited me to a Rivercats game, and it completely changed my entire day.
This is the beautiful thing that the tribe of mental health warriors and Stop Stigma has provided, is just an automatic connection with people who get you.
Nice.
You know, they know your language. They've
right.
been where you've been. Now, you have different, some very serious mental illness. Some have been in the hospital many times and still struggle. Some just have some bads or whatever, but we get each other. And that way you don't have to put on any kind of mask. And what's been wonderful during the pandemic and really since the beginning is that if one of us are struggling and you have another warrior nearby, it's so easy to reach out to somebody and say, you know what, I'm going down the tubes. And some people very seriously suicidal during the pandemic.
Sure.
And, you know, it's like you can ask, you can say, what can I do? Just call me every day. And that's what you have to do. Be there for people and not be afraid. Don't be afraid to check in with people and know that we're all human. We all have issues at times. And mental health is a very important part of our physical health and just being humans.
Yep, absolutely. Well, let's talk about the Stop Stigma Sacramento Speakers Bureau and how you both got involved. Let's start with you, Diane.
The timing was perfect. I had just finished writing my book in sickness and in mental health about my journey and how I met my husband and then about his journey and how the recovery road is rocky when you got two people, but it can also really support each other, which
sure.
is kind of the point of our Speakers Bureau as well.
Right.
I knew that, okay, I'm putting this down on paper, but how do I face the world now? I'm coming out. You know, how do I do that? And sure
are
enough,
people going to look at me funny now, you know? Yeah,
right,
I know what you're
right,
saying.
Right. And I couldn't have been more delighted. Everybody, and I'm saying everybody, I've done over 100 presentations between this and other opportunities. And, well, every time somebody is like, me too.
Yeah.
Either me too, my husband, my child. It's so prevalent, but we don't talk about it.
Right.
So it has just opened up a world and a reality and a conversation and genuinely helps people. It feels really good. It's a purpose. It helps my recovery a million times because I stay connected to the fact that I better take care of myself because I want to stay well.
Absolutely. How about you, Michael? How did you get involved with the Stop Stigma Sacramento Speakers Bureau?
It was a little bit of a circuitous route as far as my life is concerned. I started experiencing symptoms of mental illness as a teenager. But one of the things that they tell you is that you'll only go to the doctor when you don't feel well.
Right.
So when you're hypomanic, which is the upside of bipolar, you're going, I can do anything. I can go anywhere. I can accomplish all my goals. I can do all this stuff. You're not going to go to the doctor then. You're only going to go to the doctor when you're in that depressed part of the bipolar.
Right.
And when you're there, you'll go to the doctor. But what does the doctor do? He says, you're depressed. So I went for many years being treated for depression with medications that were the exact wrong kind.
Mm.
And I won't go into a lot of detail as to how I was finally diagnosed, but I was diagnosed at the age of 59.
Mm-hmm.
I got on proper medication for bipolar at that time. I had literally picked up my prescription from my medication driving down Madison Avenue in Sacramento and saw the billboard. I went home and looked that up online, found there was a speakers bureau, made contact, and went to the first practice session. When I went to that first practice session and was chatting up with people who were in that group, I felt like, oh my gosh, Diane used the word tribe. That is exactly it. And the people that were in that room were very invested in their mental health and being able to help the mental health of others. And I thought, wow, I'm at a great place here. And I've been doing presentations for the organization ever since.
Well, believe it or not, guys, we're out of time. But hey, Diane, where can I get more information and engage with the project?
You can visit StopStigmaSacramento.org and see if you can say Stop Stigma Sacramento Speakers Bureau. You can be a speaker because it is a tongue twister.
Yes, indeed.
You can learn about the project and events and find information about how to apply. And, of course, social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Just search Stop Stigma Sacramento and be a part of our tribe.
Well, thank you both so much for your time this morning. Diane Mintz and Michael Hansen of the Stop Stigma Sacramento Speakers Bureau. The Mental Illness, It's Not Always What You Think Project in Sacramento County. You can find out more online, stopstigmasacramento.org. And also, you can look for them on social media. Thank you both for doing what you do, and thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you,
Doug. Thanks for having us.
This has been The Public File. If you'd like us to cover your nonprofit, email sacpsa@odyssey.com, sacpsa@audacy.com. I'm Doug Thomas. Be good to each other, and thanks for listening.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.